This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because you're unveiling yourself to us. You are revealing yourself to us. You are helping us to see you, Son of God, to see you, Son of God. You are helping us to fall in love with the image of your person. Son of God, we thank you. We thank you for your day, for it's the day of the sun. We thank you. We thank you. We hallow you. We hallow you, Jesus. We hallow you, Lord. We hallow you. We hallow you, Almighty. Elohim, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you for breath. Thank you for help. Thank you for supply again. Thank you for giving us breath and bread. Oh, come to us again. Baptize us again. Help us again. Help us, Lord. Move us forward again. Lord, cause our hearts to fall in love with you again. Jesus, help us to love you again and again and again. Help us, Lord. Lord, help me tonight. Help me. Give me breath. Strengthen my body. Bless my meditation. Help me speak as I ought to speak. Give me words. He said, I should open up my mouth. You will fill it with words. Lord, I receive utterance. I receive grace to be a blessing and to serve you, Jesus, to serve your servant in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the ministry spirit you sent to help us. We exalt you. Thank you because you will help all of us again. Lord, I'm praying for a baptism again as an assembly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for an atmosphere of your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. There are so many things that's been emphasized. We're in the season of the Son of God, okay? We're in the season where God is not only getting us born again. God is not just, you know, washing us. God is expecting fruiting. God is expecting a measure of life in me and you. And that life is called what? Everlasting life. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in, we will not perish, but have what? So this is the declaration. This is the intention for every man. Did he say he loved Christians? He said the world. So this is the intention. This is the plan. You know, the beauty of it is that he sent a son. Say son.
Son.
So the way to everlasting life is through the son. Way to come into this is through that son. Is it that begotten son? That begotten son is not only the only begotten son. He has become the first begotten. Say first begotten. You will see that this only begotten, I think it was just twice or three times used in the Bible. Then we began to hear first begotten. That means the intention is that when men are having everlasting life, we should begin to have many begotten sons. So we can say, for God so loved the world and gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes will not perish, will become sons. And so the way to having everlasting is the son. Because people, you are in a season where we must fall in love with the Son of God. We have known Jesus of Nazareth, but there's also Jesus the Christ, and there's also what? Jesus the Son of God. I know those are different measures. So Jesus is a person, but in his person, there were various measures of life that he had. You see, one of the thoughts that has been, you know, praying for, that I will fall in love with the Son of God again. Many of us love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my friend. He's my friend. How we always love him. How we always love him. He's my friend. He's my friend. Did anybody sing, I hate Jesus? But we sang it without knowledge. Because when it comes to Jesus, there are things called revelation. There are things called knowledge.
me, it's good information that me and you should know that beyond the pages of the gospel, when we read Jesus of Nazareth, but beyond all of those display the passion, there's who Jesus is. And that is why Luke 10, when it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, that thou hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto who? Babes. You will be amazed that when it comes to the revelation of Jesus, it's unto babes. Is that not amazing? Think it now. If you want to give knowledge to someone, won't you think of Agbalagba? Agbalagba, oye. Jesus is saying is to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but what? The Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. And who again? He to whom the Son will what? So who is the person talking here? Jesus. Who is he talking about? He's talking to disciples that were touching him. You don't understand. He's talking to disciples that were sleeping in the house where he slept. Disciples that were hitting with him. And he's telling them, no one knows the Son. Jesus is telling people that no one knows the Son. So you will know that the knowledge Jesus is talking about is not a knowledge that is visual. It's not a knowledge by experience. No wonder when Paul said, when he came to say, I confound not with flesh and blood. When he pleased his Son to reveal himself. You understand? God's people, there's a revelation of Jesus as the Son that we must get. Jesus is the one saying this thing. Look. And he's saying that no man knows the Son. Who is he talking about? If I was a disciple in Jesus' time, I feel some people, like Thomas the Doubter, might be thinking that, is Jesus okay? What do you mean by this? John the Beloved, he was just a lover of Jesus. Anything, Jesus, I just love you. But you see, those other disciples, they will be looking somehow. Eh? No one knows the Son but the Father, except the one that he revealed. When it comes to the issue of the Son, they need to reveal him. Don't say hey, everybody knows Jesus. Jesus is the one talking. Jesus, the Bible, is the one talking. No man knows the Son except the Father, on whom he pleases to reveal. So what is he revealing? You ask, what don't they know about Jesus that he still wants to reveal? One thing in this season is that there will be many revelations. You know, see, because some people say, revelation. Jesus will go on, sorrow, revelation. Of himself. It means that he said, unless the person is given to. All of us, we know Jesus. Many of, in fact, I know people that can tell us all the miracles of Jesus on earth. Abi, some of us can account to physical, you know, life. But when it comes to what Jesus is the Son of God. When he said, who do men say? He said, thou art Christ. The Son of the living, thou art. When they say art, that is what he is. So he needs revelation. So we understand Revelations 1. Well, when it says the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God. So you can even see that even Jesus himself, the way that he looks, I won't go more. He shall to walk. Because that walk in Jesus, the Father walked it. That's why you will know that when they are talking humility and meekness, you see Jesus. Imagine the second person in the Godhead, they just use you. Because when they were going to say, thy throne, O God, is forever. They had to announce him. They had to proclaim the work that he has become. So he says, which God gave him? They are giving me the revelation of myself. Can they give you the revelation of yourself? Some of you, they can't even tell you what to do. They can't tell you your career. You will say they are choosing for you. Your Lord Jesus, they gave him the revelation of himself. Some of us, you can't be instructed. Even those who are asked, my brother and my sister, mark no ye, but no be problem. Your Lord Jesus, they said the revelation which God gave unto him. Gave unto him is not just in knowledge, gave unto him in what they made him. You know, saying to show unto his servant the things which must what? So this is obvious that even the revelation of Jesus is still unfolding. Where is a revelation of his person, but there are still the things that must still come to pass, you know, and to show unto his servant. So we've been talking about who Jesus is, the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. Now, what makes the Son of God? Because you see, we can be saying we are in the season of the Son of God, and we are just parroting it. God. It's good to parrot it, actually. It's good to proclaim it. But much more, it's good to have an understanding. Because when they talk about the person of Jesus, they are not just declaring the Son of God to us. They are telling us what they want to make us. Remember John 3:16. There's an intention of giving the only begotten Son. There's an intention. Jesus died for you and I. Jesus did not only die for us to go to heaven. Jesus did not only die to deliver us. There's an intention. There is a reason. That reason is what God in his mercy has brought us here as an assembly. There's what makes him. So when they want to make us the Son too, they are not only proclaiming Son to us. They are proclaiming us because they want to make us. They want to make you Son. So you see, when they say the season of the Son of God is the season of your making. It's the season when they want to raise you. But you see, there are things that constitute the Son of God. You know, one thing that has been very paramount when you are talking everlasting is love. Say love.
Love.
That 1 Peter 2:22. Say, seeing that you have purified your heart, that you have purified your souls, you know, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto what?
Love
of the brethren. See that you love one another, what? With a pure heart, what? Fervently. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Did you see that this is a journey? This is a pilgrimage. Oh, that's by obedience. Say obedience. By obedience to truth. Truth are revealed standards of God. Truth are revealed righteousness of God. He said through the Spirit. I wish there was Yoruba version. Oh yeah, give Joy mic. Let's read.
Ni won bi eyin ti we okan yin mo nipa igboran yin si otito nipa emi si ife ara ti ko li etan e fe omo ni keji yin gidigidi lati okan wa bi a tin tun yin bi kin se lati inu iru ti idibaje wa bi ko se yi ti kin di ibaje nipa oro olorun ti nbe laye ti o si duro
amen. So we are seeing that this scripture shows that there's a journey of obedience to reveal truth. Hallelujah. So anytime you do obedience, you come to purification. So they say anytime you are doing obedience, my darling, you are being purified. You see, that purification, purification is what gets us to unfeigned love of the brethren. If purification is not taking place, your love will be feigned. Ife, omani abawon. It will have shades unless purification comes through what? Obediences. The emphasis is not for us to stay in unfeigned love of the brethren. You see this hot love? You know that the men that will call forth the Father, you know, you must first appear in Zion and grow from strength to strength to beckon for this coming. Because you see that coming is called habitation. If you read John chapter 14, you will now see when Jesus said, if anybody loves me and keeps my commandments, then I will manifest myself, reveal myself to him. You must keep before you have. Then my Father and my Son will come and make abode. Because in the season of everlasting, they want to abode with us. But they can't abode with anybody. They can't abode with anything. Imagine, they call themselves holy. They say, God, who is holy? God, who is love, wants to dwell in me. That feigned love is still present. You know, some of us, even our love for God is still feigned. Go and audit why you're coming to church. Sometimes, why do you even do your personal devotion? Go and check it. You know, it's true. And God knows that many times when we say we love him, he still feigns. He gets some kind thing where God go do for us, where you feel be offended. Because of the present distress, they told some people not to marry. Abby, are they saying marriage is not good? There was something that happened on earth. At that instance, a commandment came forth. Imagine they say people who have been eyeing sister and brother, they say, Emma, marry. Or maybe you have submitted sister's name. And they say there's present distress, we are moving. They say, whoa, that's your marriage, yeah? Forget it. You know, some of you, ordinary brother you submitted or sister, they are still telling you to wait, you're offended. But they carry mic on a Sunday and say, hey, Job, no relationship again, no everything again. Then you now wonder, the reason why some of you are doing self-communicity, gone. Is it not because so that one brother or sister can see you? They now announce, will you not be offended? No, look at God's people. Hey, walking in, you are like, let us think it. Will you not say, hey, when it came to my turn? Why didn't you? But that was what happened. That was what happened, God's people. And I challenge you. That instruction was an instruction that came by discernment and judgment of the leaders. You see, there's no love that you claim for your brethren or for God that will not be tested. You can't claim it. God will not take a love that is feigned. I thought about it. I said, because of wo marriage you, yeje ka fi kini le. How would you feel? That instruction negates any daba word they've received. You don't understand. Maybe an angel has even appeared to you. A leader now says, because of the present distress, will you not exit that church? But in this church, because people, if our hearts cannot receive that commandment, we are not ready for the song. We are not ready for the song. So, but where I'm going to is the fact that, you know, we have said that unfeigned love is charity. Charity is way higher than that. Charity is another court that you must come into. It's like loving today. Saying the end of the commandment is what? Charity. Out of what? A pure heart and a good conscience. So that means charity is love to the end, right? So open John chapter 13 for me. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour has what? Come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them. So this is a hand commandment, ready for the Father. I just want us to see something. When they are talking of unfeigned love, and fervent love, what it constitutes, the constituent of it, we are read on. And the supper being what? Ended. You see, in this season, he said, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas what? Iscariot, Simon's son, to what? In this season, the devil is around. Yes, the tool in God's hand to test that your love. They said, having loved them to what? To the end. So it was end, the end of it. It was the end of that love. And it was moving to another administration fully, another full court. Then Jesus, knowing that the Father had done what? Giving him what? All things into his hand. And it was come from God. And he went to, what did Jesus do? So in this season when we are talking fervent, this is, I want to show you what fervent charity. He said he rises from supper. Excuse me. When you are eating pounded yam, you will rise up to come and do feet washing. Who does that? You see, when you are talking fervent charity, is a season where your inconvenience. Say Jesus rises up from supper. Excuse me, when I eat supper, what I want to do is to sleep. What I want to do is to what? Is to gist. What I want to do is to relax. But they said he rises up. Because people, in this season of fervent charity, you must be able to rise up. For the demand of the brotherhood. This thing, it means it rises up. And you see that feet watching Jesus went to do. It is the lowliest of servants that do it. It is not the chief servant, though. It's the lowliest of servants. He said, from super, and lay aside his garment. One translation said, his outer garment. You see this garment thing? You know, in one thing about our journey is that we put on, we put off. One of us, garment of status, spiritual status, you can't lay it aside. So, you know, when they're talking about status, I don't know your status in the spirit. Your status might be that your tongue is bigger than all our tongue. You know, but he said you must be able to lay it aside. I don't know whether you think you have come to Christ's measure. You are now divine son. Or you are charity man. Or you are godly. They say lay it aside. You see, in the season of fervent charity, whatever you are, you can condescend. You can lay it aside. You know, there's a way you can be in church. You can feel you are spiritual. You can feel that you are a leader in the house. All our leaders and pastors, you know, there's a way you can just gumpa, gumpa, gumpa. You just feel, mama. Mama is on with your journey to everlasting life. God forbid, along my jail. Yeah, you're a senior pastor. See, what? You lay it aside when it comes to service. So you can see when you are talking fervent, there are things there. Humility is one. Please, if you think you are something in the season of the sun, you are nobody. If anything has given you privilege or advantage, you see, this thing is in the mind. You see, you first start from the mind. What will not make you like? Do you know how many garments Jesus had? Do you know the status? His status. He was the Son of God. He said he lay and took up that post. He said he laid his son and what? Took a towel. You see, one translation says servant towel. He said he girded himself. That is, he was not once off. He girded. He tied himself. When the scripture talk about girding, it's laws. There's law of service. Some of us, we serve for high service. You are not serving with law, with an understanding that is a love to the end. And then he took a business and began to, this is Jesus your Lord. Jesus our Lord. You see, fervent charity is not, my heart is burning, I love you to return. Please, it's okay. But if you are not humble, if you are not looking at service, he said, he who is the greatest must be the least among you. One thing that everyone must begin to see in our conversation is that we are laying things aside. We can get up from supper. Because the real tradition is that when you are coming for supper, your feet should be washed by the lowliest of servants. I feel Jesus was just watching them. Because when they planned the supper, I don't think they planned the servants. Most servants, nobody washed the feet. Feet washing was a need. Because whenever your feet is washed, according to Jewish custom, it's a form of hospitality. It's also a form of cleaning away. You see, there's no feet that will walk that will not take dust. You see, when you are talking about feet, you are talking about walk. So saints of God, they get walk. And that's what our feet is. Our feet is in our walk. There's any measure of life that Brother Samuel has acquired. Until Brother Samuel comes to a place where he has been made incorruptible, his feet will always gather dust. It will gather dust by walk. It will gather dust. And we must become apt in washing our feet. We must learn how to wash the feet of the saints. The feet of our brothers and our sisters. Because everybody, they gather dust. In fact, it even be worse if that person is wearing slippers. Imagine, the least part of is the leg. They say you should start from the feet. Because you know the feet must be beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those? The feet must be beautiful. Our feet must be beautiful. It's the feet that we show with the gospel of peace. There's a beauty God expects from our feet. Saints, they gather feet. You know, some saints can come around you. You know that something is wrong with them. You know, all of us, we are not okay. You know, this place is an hospital. All of us. Some people, their case, maybe it's ICU. But our sickness, you know, some people are outpatients. Some, they'll give them admission. Some is intensive care units. Some is orishi. You know, some is outpatient. All right. Your own pill might be fate. Your own pill might be, you can, okay. But there are some people, they need to admit them. There are some people, they need to do surgery on them. All manners, they are all dust that the feet gathers. And when we come around like this, we should be ready to wash each other's feet. And you know, that's washing of feet is beyond just giving. You know, somebody can come into this assembly and we are not washing his feet. There's a way we can deal with the person. And the person's feet is, in fact, is so dirty. There was a woman, she's gone to be with the Lord, Ellen Cook. There was a vision she had mentioned, and it turned out to be an experience that, you know, when they were gathered in a place, the feet, the body, if you see the legs of people, dirty, different legs, orishirishi bata, some filled with mud, coming from different places. And these people were coming from different Christian groups, but yet their feet was dirty. And so she mentioned in particular, but there was one, the dirtiest. You know, the dirtiest was coming from, you know, an assembly where that brother was put down. That brother was stalked down. That brother was, you know, there's some assembly that there's a way the soul of that brother, what he saw. He said, you know, when the Lord pointed her attention, she literally began to cry. Your brothers and your sister that you meet, their feet might be really dirty. Dirty from nature, dirty from attitudes, dirty from all manners of things that have happened to them. But when they encounter you, are you washing their feet or are you adding to their dust? Can I say something? You know, sometimes, let's say somebody comes frowning or somebody comes with an attitude. You know, when somebody gives you a bad attitude, the earthly response is to respond. How many of us, they respond? Do me, I do you. God knows the best. You don't greet me, I don't greet you. You know, all those kind of principles, they are all principles of a carnal man. Somebody comes, is feeling big. You too, you feel big. I mean, all those things are nature. You know, all those nature. That person's leg is dirty. So if somebody comes into our gathering and is like that, what's the first thing to do? Smile. Welcoming, being hospitable is starting of feet washing, because feet washing said, you see, the season of fervent charity, God will give us highs. Say highs.
Yes.
You see, if we cannot perfect feet washing, we can't come to the new commandment. Because it was after this that Jesus now gave them that scripture. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love what? One another what? By this, by what? All men know that you are my what?
Yes.
That all men is not only physical men, no. Heavenly men too. And you guess what? You see, in this season of feet washing, you know what happens? The one that is offended among us, he go waka come out. It's amazing that Jesus washed the feet of Judas, the one who was going to betray him. Jesus washed the feet of Thomas and did not even say anything. Jesus washed the feet of who again? Peter. Washed the feet of what? The sons of thunder. Bartholomew, Matthew. What was Jesus saying when he was washing Judas' feet? And he knows what is in his heart. Because you know that they said, having loved his own. He said, when he has put, he knew. And I'm sure he was still interceding. This one will find mercy. That this will find mercy. He said he loved them to the end. Judas, he loved Judas to the end. You see that pause they gave Judas? It was mercy. She problem. Your problem. No, lost. You know, it's a way. Maybe if I give him access and he has money and he's meeting his needs, because they say he has been stealing from the pot. From me, I know I won't do that too. I won't give brethren's money to somebody who is stealing money. I don't have Jesus' faith yet, but Jesus had faith. Jesus is a savior. When you hear competent savior, you see that pause was mercy to Judas, but Judas forsook his mercy. You know, sometimes mercy comes in disguise of even brethren, but we forsake it. You know, I was telling someone that, you know, some of us, we don't even know that some brethren in our space, they are God's mercy to us. You know, some people, they are like troubler of your soul. You just like, Shimon, did they send you to me? When they were mentioning your name, is your middle name my name? But they are your mercy. Mercy to for your feet to be washed. Because you see, when it comes to your feet washing, it's not necessarily you that have intention. Even your placement can put you in that place where your feet is being washed. You see that thing I say, I want to wash your feet. You yourself, they are using that person to wash you. One thing that will be paramount in our midst is service, is humility, is where we can lay down our outer garments and our status. If status is still a problem for you, it's a problem. You know, sometimes a minister, sometimes they come to a place, they don't acknowledge you. They say, you know, or they don't put pastor before your name. Or your seat is not leather seat. They give you plastic chair. Or where they told you to sit. You know, trust the Lord. Things like that will happen more. Because they want to expose you to yourself. Then we will see someone that we know that they don't even know you. Say, who was that? Pastor. Okay. You can please sit down. Have your seat there. And then you sit down. And no arguments. You know, some of us, we can even compose externally, but inside of you, you say, don't go to where you are not celebrated. Go to where you are celebrated. You know, Eshunie, Jesus was despised. He was despised. But he washed the feet of his disciples. When they are talking about love to the end, is a love that is able to condescend and come down and lay down. It's a love that we not consider all this. You understand? You see, we believe in authority, but at the same time, authority is both horizontal and vertical. You must be able to relate. Please, if you are a leader in the house, please don't form systems around you that will turn you to Pharaoh. You know, you are just like, your savior is not like that, oh. In the season where the Lord is proclaiming charity over us, God's people, the Lord is expecting service. Say service. And when I saw that scripture, when it says, he loved his own till the end. Till the end. Because he knew where he was going to. He loved his own till the end. You know, and you know that thing just kept ringing in my heart. That, can you please give me eyes to see how to wash my brother's feet? Can you let me know the areas where I need to supply? Lord, help me to condescend. Help me to be able to get up from supper. I believe that we have brothers and sisters that have enough discernment to pick such things. You know, sometimes being able to offer suits to our brethren. You know, some people sometimes a little, how are you doing? Tenderness and warmth. Say warmth. Some brethren, woman le coco. They are hard. There's nothing tender about them. And they love this Jesus. Jesus that is tender. So tender, so meek. You know, everything, even when they hug you, is hard. You've not seen people like that. I mean, people like that. I used to hug. I don't lift up people. I hug them. Oh, yeah, calm down. Some people are hard. There's no softness. Even with our brethren, we are mean. You know, husband and wife, you can be mean towards your husband. You know, there's a way you can, our daddies, you know, a great deal. There's a way you want to, as I'm the head of, you know, the way you mean us, they more mean, you want me? I'm going to put my feet down. Ha! Remember Jesus. So. Just remember, you know, sometimes in recent time, I just be saying, when I think about Jesus, I'm weak. We know we must have a heart that when we think about Jesus and the Son, there's a weakness it does to your soul. That even when somebody is just, you just say, well, Jesus, when you say so. But there are some people, they don't think Jesus. Even when he appears to them, is nothing. That's why, you see, service is tied to conscience. So when they are talking about good conscience, there's no way you won't have, you know, service and your conscience is not changing. Please, wives too, you can be mean towards husbands. You can mean the man, but this man, forget, oh. Wise man knows not to mess with a woman. Because when a woman makes up her mind for evil, let me tell you, there are some things that a woman must not do. There are some lines a woman must not cross. When she crosses, she's mean. Have you seen when they say some women are drug cartel and the head of the empire? Have you watched some movies? Do you see them? They are wicked. So a woman is made tender. If she crosses some line, wala deo. So I was trying to say that our husband should not allow us. And a woman should not allow your conscience come to that place where you plot evil against your husband or where you build a wall against him. The same thing with brethren. You know, tenderness is the fruit of the spirit. You must not be people who are strong-willed. Is there anybody here that we need to beg and beg and beg? When you are like that, Jesus said we should tell you. You know, Jesus said when they beg you, they call this, they call us, we should just take you as one that is unsaved. You must be easily pacified. Say easily pacified. Easily pacified. When they say otito, if you are here, you are arguing, and somebody says otito, and you are still continuing, you will need a lot of water to wash you. So that you, when they say otito, otito is otito. And you just hold it there. You know some people, the more they pacify them, the more flame. And they go crazy. And they grow wild. May our souls not come like that. But, you know, a soul can journey. It's in little things. Every disobedience tampers with your conscience. So what is my message tonight? Is that the season that we are in is a season that calls for greater measure of service, greater measure of laying down, greater measure where we can seek to see how we can love to the end. I'm saying the Lord will keep on evening up commandment of charity, commandment of love. You know, there's a way you can love and you feel that I'm a lover. Have you ever given yourself tick that I'm a lover? You know, our husbands try, our wives try, but we should heave it up. We should heave it up because we are in the season of fervency. We are in a season where we are expecting to be made like unto the Son. And you see, why are they saying this? Because the Son of God is a love being. You see, why when you are talking about sin and death, hell and death, when it comes to the realm of everlasting, it can be dealt with because love swallows it up. Has anybody offended you before and it pained you? Have you ever received mercy to forgive the person? Because people, if whatever you exude was love, I'm telling you, I don't know, in eons and eons and billions of the love measure the sun is. It can swallow up. And that's why when the Lord says he forgives our sins, it's nothing. You don't understand? He can forgive it because his love can swallow everything. You know, I always say that we are the ones that remind God where you are coming from. When you look into the heart of God, it's with the heart of love. He's thinking about your future. He's not only planning your future here, he's planning your future of what you will be. That's the Lord. So you cannot be talking about the Son of God and we are lacking in fervency. Say fervency. Love not only to brethren, even to our neighbor. Say neighbor. I've seen brethren that don't know how to be good neighbor. They don't even open their mouth to greet. Their neighbor will pass. Very, very, very bad. You can't even say good morning. You understand? You can't even say good morning. Or you're owing the dew of the sweeping or the dew of the street or the dew. Those things are not even fervent charity. Those are the things you give to Caesar. It's absurd. If you go to a brethren's house and the neighbors don't have good testimony of you and you are saying the Son of God is come, it's you that you will fight them. And no, because we need to say these things. Me, I don't always assume that people are in an estate. It's a lie. Until we all board, including myself. Because, you know, there's some people that they have different shades of life. They have another one they display in their house. Even, you know, can we even call your parents and they have good report of you? Because people, God wants us to look into every measure of our love conversation. Please. The x-ray and the revelation of the Son must give us eyes to see these things. May the Lord come to us again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lovesyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.